Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, once again, I'm so glad to be with you, and Jesus is alive and well. And I think of a scripture verse right off the bat. It says in Isaiah 9:6, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government peace there shall be no end." And so Jesus is the Son of God, and he is called the Mighty God, and he's the Prince of Peace. And he made peace between God and man by his death on the cross, because when he died, he was punished for every man's sin. And if they will repent and put their faith in him as Lord and Savior, they will have eternal life immediately. And Jesus said, "Whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." But once again, my mind is on what has recently happened in our city, because it is so indicative what Jesus has said 2,000 years ago. And he is referring back to the book of Genesis in chapter 18 and 19, and you can read it, and it's worth reading after we have the program. But the Cuyahoga County Council met just the other day, and I was there, had a chance to speak in front of them, and I want to talk about that once again, although we've talked about it, because it's relevant to what the Bible says. Jesus said that as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And so at this council, actually, they promoted the homosexual agenda. They backed up the homosexual agenda. And they're planning to set up some kind of a group that is going to prosecute anybody that they don't like what they speak, what they say about sodomy. If they want to take it that far, I call it they want to set this thing up. And so they have voted actually to go along with it. You know, the homosexual agenda is men can walk into women's bathrooms. If women say something about it, they can prosecute them. Goes on with teenagers having unisex showers and all kinds of stuff connected with that agenda. I need to say something about some of the groups that were there. I'm going to mention some of them now. There were some groups there. For instance, one of them that I think about was the African-American group, and it's probably the largest religious group among African-Americans. I think it's called the Church of God in Christ, connected with the Assemblies of God. And they have actually millions of members in the black community, and they were there speaking against it. Also, there was a Baptist pastor speaking against it. There's 100,000 Baptist churches in the United States. And so they were there speaking against it. But then there was other groups. There's some, although I'm sure that not all Methodists would go along with that, in a Methodist church and in other groups. And some of them were claiming that they were Christian. And they really don't understand what Christianity is all about, because Jesus called himself the Word of God, and he has always identified himself with the Scripture, the Torah, the law of Moses, the Tanakh, the Old Testament law, and the New Testament, which universally came out against the practice of homosexuality or sodomy. And Baptist preachers spoke out against it. And then there was black mothers that were there, African-American mothers, and they spoke out against it very powerfully and strongly. And then, of course, there was the ACLU, and this is the anti-Christian crusade, the ACLU Anti-Christian Liberties Union, based on a lie and a misinterpretation of the Constitution and changing it. And the Constitution says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, that is a church, or the free exercise of an establishment of religion, a church. And so government's supposed to stay out of churches. They change "and" to "the" and claim that that represents separation of church and state, which makes no sense because the historical context is King George was sending over pastors that backed him up, and George Washington had to listen to a lecture backing up King George during the American Revolution. But anyway, this groups were there, and some of these groups claiming to be Christian were actually humanist, and one of the unholy sacraments of humanism, the two unholy sacraments are sodomy and abortion. And so, of course, they were there to promote the pro-abortion, pro-sodomy stand there. Now, they use the language of tolerance and diversity, and of course, that's propaganda for them because these laws that they're setting up and this this thing that they want to set up with pro-sodomite people on this court that they want to set up, it's nothing to do with tolerance or diversity, because anybody that is going to come out against it, they want to prosecute. And this is propaganda of the left. It's tolerance and diversity. That only refers to people on the other side. It doesn't refer to them, because once they have the power, there's no tolerance or diversity whatsoever. And the whole thing here is the Cleveland Cuyahoga Council. It's to set up the homosexual agenda, which does not allow tolerance or diversity. And so if men want to come in women's bathrooms, there's no tolerance for women that go along with don't want that, see? And so I want to say something about this. Now, what does Jesus say about it? He says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And he's saying that, referring back to the time of Lot, Lot was a righteous man according to the Bible. And he lived in a town called Sodom. And actually, he was probably elected as official, either a city councilman or a mayor of that town. And the people in that town, the Sodomite men, what they were doing at the time when somebody would come to town as a visitor, they would take him and they would rape him. So they had they just get this guy and rape whoever came to town. And one day God was looking at what was going on, and he called it wickedness. The whole Bible is against sodomy and is against homosexuality, the gay lifestyle, because one of the things about it, not only is it a gross practice, but usually they have many different partners, so it spreads disease. But in the media today, by wealthy playboys control the media, they say everything, they mislead the people about what it's all about, and they will not tell the truth, and they don't want the other side to be given. So I was able to speak there, and other people were being able to, that spoke there. But they showed, I think they showed my backside or something, but they didn't show what we said on there. That's typical. So they censor anything out that is on the against the left and against their pernicious ways. So they are very strong into censorship at all times. And you see this on Facebook and different types of the media. They're always into censoring. And so that's partly what this kangaroo court that they want to set up, that they passed to set up. And that's what it is. Because they're going to have people that just think like them on it. There's no tolerance and there's no diversity with this thing whatsoever. And so some of the people were there. Naturally, the whole anti-Christian crusade was there, and the ACLU was there backing the homosexual intolerance. We call them the Anti-Christian Liberties Union. And everywhere they're involved in the censoring of the name of Jesus Christ under false pretense that it's against separation of church and state. And, of course, that's not even in the Constitution. They perverted the Constitution. And I'll challenge any of them to show me where it is anywhere in the Constitution. And furthermore, it's not a denomination running the government. It's the mention of God. They want to get the name of God, and they have a particular phobia against the name of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes they have preachers come and pray, and you say, you can't pray in Jesus' name. Well, I'll tell you, the day they tell me that I can't talk in the name of my wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that's the day they better not ask me to come, because I'll say his name till the day I die. And Christians down through the ages, they were burned alive for saying his name and saying that he was the only means of salvation. And he is, because he is Almighty God. He's the King of Kings. The first time they came and they spit in him, and they pulled out his beard and they pulled off his hair and they beat him in the face and beat him in the back. And you know, the people that did it, you know, the Jewish people, when he came into town, they came out in crowds and welcomed him into town. But who was it that would really attack him? It was Jews that were in collaborators with the Roman government, and they didn't want to lose their place because they were actually traitors to the Jewish people. And they were the ones that led the many Jews against Jesus, even up until this day. Study your history. They were the collaborators and traitors that were working with the Roman government, and they were put into power as the high priest and so on by the Roman government, and they were serving the Roman government. And you know, when they said, we want Caesar rather than Jesus, they were breaking the law of Moses, because the law of Moses said that they should not have anyone to rule over them except someone that was one of their brethren. In other words, a Jew was the only one to rule over them. Jesus was a Jew, and Caesar was a Roman. And so these individuals, they went against the law of Moses right there. They broke it, and they knew better when they did it. And they've led many in Israel against Jesus, who proved to be the Messiah in many different ways. So anyway, the ACLU was there, and then the Anti-Defamation League was there to promote sodomy. And I wonder, what does that have to do with forcing sodomy on Gentiles? And then I got to say, there was another Jewish organization guy that was there, and he said that he came out against the law. And I thank God that he stood up for what was decent and right. The whole Old Testament and the New Testament, the Torah, the Tanakh, and the New Testament were all written by Jews through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by God Almighty. Jesus was a Jew, and they came out against sodomy. And you know, one fellow got up there and he said, was speaking against this law, and he said that God himself was against the law. And then other ones had said, the Bible teaches that God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you will surely reap. And Jesus said that as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And the fact that this backing of sodomy by the Cleveland or the Cuyahoga City Council, some of these cities around Cleveland, also for these laws, which are in defiance of the God of heaven, defiance of Christ, defiance of the Bible, defiance of decency, and what most Americans have believed in the past and still believe today, you know, they're going to answer they're going to answer to God for this. And God says, be sure your sins will find you out. And the Bible says the wicked will soon be cut off. But you know, Lot was in Sodom, and so the two angels went to Sodom. And when they came in, their angels in the Bible were spirit beings that appeared like young men. And shortly before this, three had appeared to Abraham. Now, one of them was a pre-incarnation of Christ, who is God. God appeared many times in the Old Testament in human form. For instance, to Jacob when he wrestled with the angel. And Jacob said, I have seen God face to face. And you see these appearances of God many times. And so here, once again, God had showed up to Abraham, and Abraham recognized him as God. And Abraham prayed to him, and said, I'm just dust and ashes. And that's how we're to pray to God. We're just human beings made out of dust and ashes. And then he prayed that God would spare him. And God said he would spare Lot if he just found a few handful of righteous people. And Abraham was hoping that Lot and his three daughters and three son-in-laws were enough to save Sodom. And so finally God goes down to Sodom, and he calls it wicked, what was going on down there. And so then he stays back, and the two angels walk into town, and they look like young men. And so Lot invites them into his house, and they don't want to go, but finally they went into his house, and he feeds them. And then before they lay down, the men of Sodom come to the door and demand that Lot bring them out of the house so they can, the Bible calls it know them. That means rape them. That's what it amounts to. And Lot says, you should not do this wickedness. And then they say, would you judge us? I thought that was interesting, because this is 6,000 years ago. And today, the only sin today, according to most secular people, is the sin of judging, according to them. Everything else goes, but don't judge. You know, well, they say, will you judge us? And so at this time, then Lot, to try to save him, he gives them, says, well, you could take my daughters out. And, you know, reminds me, Lot was a righteous person, the Bible says, but he's willing to sacrifice his daughters. And I think of Christians that sacrifice their daughters to the public system that is now promoting sodomy and homosexuality, and also to the movies and TV set, which promote all of this wickedness, and they just let the kids watch this stuff and go and adopt this stuff, and suddenly they wonder when the child says, well, I'm a woman says I'm a man, and a man says I'm a woman. Well, they were taught this. And I'm telling you, people gave sob stories about being treated bad because of this. Well, it's a perversion. And, you know, they don't have to do it. It's something they choose. And somebody says, well, I didn't choose that. Well, I think they did. And furthermore, if it be true that they have this addiction, hey, all of us have an addiction to sin. We all have an addiction to immorality of all kinds. But the Bible says Jesus came to save sinners. And not only that, he said he came to bring freedom, to liberate the captive. When he meant freedom, he didn't mean freedom to sin more. He meant freedom from the power of sin. And I have met people, I don't care whether they're addicted to heroin, to crack cocaine, to homosexuality, to the gay lifestyle, to cross-dressing, or what they're addicted to. Jesus is the living God, and there's millions of people that Jesus has freed them from these things. And he's the living God, and all they have to do, first of all, they come to him and say, I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. Forgive my sins. I'm willing to repent and turn from them, and then ask for his help. And I tell you, he has the power to free you from everything. And that is not theory. That is the testimony and proof of millions of people that live right in our time, and I have met them over and over again. And I'll tell you, he has freed me from addictions, and he can do it from anybody that lives today. And so anyway, he said this, and so he comes to town. They try to get these, men, and the angels blind him, and that was not good enough. And so they still try to get him, even in their blind state, and they rush the door and so on. And then Lot, the angels come, and they take Lot and his two daughters, and Lot talks to his son-in-laws, and they mock him. That's like the Christian that's backslidden. He doesn't go to church, doesn't read the Bible, doesn't witness. And so now his relatives, when he says judgment day is coming, he thinks it's a joke because he's been indoctrinated in the public education and atheistic humanism. And so he thinks it's a joke. And so Lot's son-in-laws, they laugh about it, and they think it's a joke that God's going to burn down the city. So the angels grab Lot, his daughters, and pull them out of the city, and they get out of town, and they go to, he says, flee to the mountains, but finally they say, we want to go in a little town called Zoar. So they let him go there to that town. And when they get out of town, at that point, as the sun is coming up, fire and brimstone come out of heaven and incinerate the whole town and everybody in it. And the Bible says the same thing in the New Testament. It says about them giving themselves to strange flesh. And it says Jesus will come. When he comes, he's going to come with fire and indignation and fire to burn and incinerate those that are in rebellion and judgment against the God of this heaven. And he's going to make war in the world, because all over the world doesn't glorify God for his creation. They glorify evolution, which is a fraud. It's unscientific and it's nonsense. But Jesus is our great creator, and everything shows that this is done by power and intelligence. It's Jesus that is our wonderful Lord and creator, and he is alive and well today. And so he's coming back in judgment to this world. But you know, before he incinerates that town, he gets Lot and his daughters-in-law out of town and the wife out of town. And so when they get out of town, the place is incinerated. So Jesus said that it will be as the days of Lot at the time of the coming of the Son of Man. Now Jesus said that no man knows the days or the hour, but he does say, the Bible teaches, we know the times and the seasons. And Jesus said before he comes back, it will be like the days of Lot. And what's that mean? That is telling Christians right now, get ready for what the Bible calls the rapture. And it's taught in Isaiah 16 in the Old Testament. It's taught in 1 Corinthians 15. It's taught in 2 Thessalonians chapter. In 2 Thessalonians, Jesus said, if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And so he is going to take us out of this planet. And when he takes us out of this planet, God is going to make war against the world and against those that are in rebellion against him. And so this is a picture of the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And what the city council of Cleveland and those religious leaders that are humanists and try to pretend they're Christian and go along with all of this, they don't read their Bible, or people that listen to them don't read the Bible, but they need to read Genesis 18 and 19 and what Jesus said about it. But Jesus will come back, and to the Christian, that is saying, get ready for the rapture. And the rapture means Jesus is going to take every born-again Christian that has repented of their sins, willing to turn from their sins, accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, like Thomas, who said, my Lord and my God, and forgive my sins and save me out of this planet. And there will be millions of people that will leave this planet from every nation on in this world. And the Bible is very, very clear about that. And so we sing the song, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And our Lord and Savior, he is coming back to be with us. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So to say to Jesus today, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Somebody said, well, I prayed about my situation and it did change. You didn't pray to the right one. The Bible says first you submit yourself to Christ. You repent and submit to him as Lord of your life. And then you go to him and ask for forgiveness and power over any sin. And just as millions have found out that are living today, you will be freed and delivered of any kind of problem and bondage that you have as far as sinful nature, sinful acts. And God will transform your life and give you joy and peace that you never, you can't believe that you have. I'm a satisfied customer. I've been saved, and I thank God that he gives me joy and peace, forgiveness of sins. And when I meet him, I'll meet him without any record that I've ever sinned, and you will too, no matter what you've done. That's the promise of Almighty God. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.